Okay, so now we're really beginning the work after that whole introduction. We're on page Kuf Yud Aleph in the Mosad of Kukadesh. What you mentioned about this person who took the leadership in Yemen, Hashagazal Shmad al Yisrael, who made a decree of Shmad, forced conversion upon Israel. And he forces anyone that's under his dominion to leave their faith. As the Kanani, there's a discussion here who he's talking about, which who it was, but at that point in the Western countries, there was also forced conversions going on. When we heard this, our faces lost their glory. And everyone here got so upset when we heard such tragic news. And we could really declare about such news. That's called a piece of bad news. In Mishnah, there's a discussion. You make a blessing over bad news. That's bad news. That anyone who hears it, his ears could fall off. That when we hear it, our hearts are weakened and our thoughts go in disarray over such terrible things happening to the Jewish people. From east and west, we're being attacked with forced conversions, and we're caught in the middle of it all. We're attacked on both sides. And about this difficult time that the prophet foresaw in his vision, he prayed over us, as the verse says in the prophet Amos, and I said, Hashem Elokim, Hashem of exacting justice, Chadolna, please stop. Miyakum Yaakov Kikatonu, will Jacob be able to stand up to these times? Jacob is so small. And this situation, as tough as it is, as much as we're being persecuted, anyone who has real faith, anyone who believes in the Torah of Moshe, this will not cause him to doubt. Then and undoubtedly, what we're experiencing now are the birth pangs of Mashiach, says the Rambam, some 800-900 years ago. Our sages all asked the Creator not to experience what we're experiencing now. We find in the Talmud often the rabbi said, let the Mashiach come, but I don't want to see him. I don't want to have to suffer through the period leading into Mashiach. And even the prophets would shudder when they think of what was coming in the days of Mashiach. Moshe Amar, as the verse says in Isaiah, Ta'a levavi, my heart skipped a beat, palatzut biatatni, fear has taken grip of me, et neshef chishki samli lecharada. The Navi describes how he's taken over with fear, and we find also in the Torah, the Creator says, Oy mi yichye mesumo el. Who's going to live to see that time that Hashem fulfills all these prophecies of the Messiah? It's a scary time. And the prophets were scared of the time. And we're experiencing it, says the Rambam. But what you've said, that some of the people are confused. And people's hearts were swayed. And in some way, people have renewed doubt. And suddenly, their logic is in disarray. And others are holding steadfast. And they haven't found any reason to change in their beliefs. This idea was already discussed by Daniel, peace be upon him, as the Creator forewarned us, that as the exile is long, and throughout this time, we suffer different challenges. So Hashem forewarned us that many will leave the faith. Many people will suddenly have questions and they will err. And the reason will be people will see how we are weakened, our numbers are diminishing, and those that afflict us seem to be so strong, and they seem to be overpowering us. And a few will not doubt. There will be a few who will not be confused. Shenemar, as the verse says in Daniel, Itbaru v'itlabnu, Hashem says during the period of exile, there will be a clarification process. Ve'yitzarefu rabim, and the masses will be purified. Ve'irshiu resha'im ve'lo yavinu, and those who choose to be wicked will go that path and they won't understand. Kol resha'im ve'maskirim yavinu, and all the wicked will not understand, but those who really think about it will understand. Vosif leva'er lanu, and he continues to explain, we're turning the page to Kuf Yud Dalid, שאפילו המשכילים ההמה והמבינים שעברו עליהם הצרות ועמדו כנגדם ונשארו באמונתם בהשם ובמשה עבדו, that even those who really understand and they were able to stand up to all the challenges and they stayed within the faith of Hashem and Moshe's servant, two points, remember, the faith of Hashem and Moshe, because the religions claim we believe in the same God, we're just talking about a different prophet. So those are two points to believe in, right? Hashem and Moshe. עדיין יעבור עליהם צרות קשות ורעות יותר מן הראשונות שעמדו כנגדם. These people, it won't finish with that. They're going to hold on to their faith, and things will get worse, and things will get tougher, and it's going to be worse than it was earlier. עד שיתחדש להם ספק, to the point where even they will doubt. ויתאו ויתאו עד שלא יתבאר להם כמעט מזר. And more will err, and more will go off the path, until a very few remain who hold on. כמו שאמר, as the verse says, מן המסכנים קשו לצרוף בהם ולברב על הבן עד את קץ כי עוד למועד. That even from those who understood, many will stumble, and again there will be this purification process. ואתה אחינו, so now says the Rambam, our brothers, חייבים אתם לטות אוזניכם, you gotta listen. ולשמוע מה שהסדר לפניכם, listen to what I'm about to explain to you, I'm gonna arrange things, you're gonna look at this period of history you're living in, you'll be able to understand. You have to teach the kids and women. You have to strengthen them so they could understand and answer the doubts they have in their faith. And with that, they will strengthen the truth within, and they'll understand what they should hold on to and they shouldn't veer from. May the Creator save us and you from doubt. Doubt is a very dangerous thing. You guys ever see a crack in a building? Crack in the street. And then it rains, and then the water freezes, and then it explodes, and you have a pothole. And then again it rains, and again the water freezes, and then the pothole becomes much bigger. And so it goes. So the same is true within a person's connection to his Creator. Once a person lets certain doubts become a part of him, so then those doubts, either he can forget about them, or he can resolve them, or they can become bigger and bigger cracks. And so the Rambam says, in such a trying time, we have to try and answer all the questions and all the doubts. And that's why this letter is so important, because the Rambam is going to address the questions, why don't we accept Islam? Why don't we accept Christianity? Why are we suffering through all this? How are we supposed to understand all of this? So the Rambam begins by telling us, we pray we should be saved from doubt, because doubt is very potent. Doubt. Oh, yes.
If one leads their life by ignoring the doubts, and they just, they have questions and frustrations, but they say, put that aside because it interferes with my faith, so then they just go, and that is an approach that at least it's an approach that doesn't contradict. If you put the question, you just take the side that works for you, all of your beliefs that you do make sense, you put the question's contradiction on the side, is that can you go that way, or?
I think we have to discern between different types of questions. There are questions which are existential to one's belief system. And there a person has to really work to find out, even though it might take time. You have to have patience. You can't figure everything out overnight. And then there are questions which bother us and we'd like to have an answer for, and we can really live with the question. The more we mature, the more we can live with many questions. Two things happen as we mature. One is we learn that some questions don't destroy the building, and you've built a certain building, and you have certain questions, and some questions, even if you don't have an answer, they don't contradict the whole understanding that you've had thus far. And another thing that happens, which is less ideal, is that life kicks in and you don't have time to deal with questions. And so people walk around with these questions and they never have time to deal with them, which is a problem because then it affects their prayer, it affects everything. A person that has a good tefillah, so everything is different by him. And when a person is walking around with questions and it's like, I'm not sure how any of this works anyways. So then it's hard to connect to a lot of things. And that's why it is a good idea to take advantage of your time at Machon Meir to try and get as many answers as you can, even if you can't get all the answers in one sitting, but as much as possible you should get. I think, again, we have to discern. Some questions can wait on the sidelines. Some questions have to wait on the sidelines. And some questions should be dealt with, and it's just laziness. It's just because we leave them there because we can live with it. And maybe we shouldn't live with it. Maybe we should get an answer. And then our whole life would be different. If a person felt that davening meant standing in front of the Ribbon Shel Olam, then his whole life would be different. All it takes is one good Shmoneh Esrei, and you behave differently. I want you to know, says the Rambam, this Torah is the truth. It was given to us by the master of all prophets, the one who was the master of the earlier and later prophets. In the Torah, Hashem says, you're different than the rest of the world. Shneimar, as the verse says in Devarim, Deuteronomy. So the Rambam is already addressing the question, who says we're the only chosen nation? Without mentioning it, he's beginning by addressing it. He says, the verse says in Deuteronomy, Hashem chose your forefathers alone. He's chosen them to love them. After the verse says in Deuteronomy, they alone were the chosen ones. The verse says, and he chose their children after them. Bachem, you, mikol amim, from all the nations, kayom hazeh, like this day. Point number one, Torah's true, given by the master of prophets. Point number two, we're the chosen people. Now, why aren't we racist? Because anyone who wants to join can join. There's an open door policy. We're not saying we're the chosen ones and no one else is. We're saying we're the chosen ones and whoever wants to can join. You're all invited, even Amalek. Rabbi Meir came from Amalek. Anyone can join. Okay. I'm not saying they aren't. He hasn't proven anything yet. He's saying what, not why yet. So far he's saying what? Amalek can convert, yes. A person from Amalek can convert. We had converts from Amalek and they became great sages too. Yes. Point number three, says the Rambam, we're the chosen nation not because we were fit for it. Oh, we're amazing people. No, it was God's kindness. He did a special thing for us. Our forefathers, that's the greatness of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they did exceptional things in recognizing their Creator and serving Him. Shneimar, as the verse says, we're on top of page Kuf Tet Vav. It's not because you're the greatest of nations that Hashem wants you, but rather, it's because Hashem loves you, and it's because He maintains His promise, His vow to the forefathers. And being that Hashem singled us out in His commandments and statutes, and here the Rambam says, our status was clarified. I'm not sure if he means us or the Torah, as you'll see from the verse. The verse says, "Umi goy gadol ashalo chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim kechol haTorah hazot asher anochi noten lifnechem hayom." Who is such a great nation that has such statutes and laws that are righteous, like the Torah I'm giving you today? Because of that, kinunu agoyim kulam al datenu kinah gdola. The nations are jealous of us over our religion. So the Rambam over here is adding point number four. We said Torah is true. Moshe is true. We were chosen because of the forefathers. And it's not because we're fit, it's Hashem's kindness. And they're jealous of us because of the religion we were given. What? Judaism? Okay.
No, Judaism is, I wouldn't call it religion.
What would you call it?
It's, I don't know, more kind of, it's called covenant.
Okay, why should it be one and not the other? Why can't it be both?
Because other religion, they're religion, but Judaism is not religion. For me, I don't know, this is my...
Okay.
I've heard other rabbis
say that too.
That Judaism is not a religion.
It's a relationship.
It's a way of life. It's all those things. You just have to be made into a part of the religion temporarily.
Okay.
Religion and a way of life and a relationship and whatever. But it's still a religion at the end of the day, no?
I don't know the exact definition of the word religion, so I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, because you understand, religions, you can choose, understand, and these religions, this, and Judaism is not under this, it's not possible to put this under this name. For other people it is, because they don't understand, but for Jewish people it doesn't go into this group.
Okay. The Rambam said a point here, which, again, Yaakov's going to argue what's the logic here, and I think it's important to recognize what the Rambam just said here. The older I get, the more I appreciate what the Rambam's saying here. The Torah says that when the nations look at our Torah, the Torah says about itself at the end of the Torah, the nations look and marvel and they say, what other great nation has such righteous laws and statutes, like this wonderful Torah I'm giving you? And in my youth, I didn't understand this. Why are we so different? And the Rambam's going to discuss comparative religion. The Rambam's going to discuss how do we compare? Hey, it seems like we have laws and they have laws. We have statutes, they have statutes. We have a system, they have a system. We pray, they pray. The Rambam's going to discuss that, but the Rambam begins by saying that we were given this great gift and everyone's jealous of us. And again, these are things which it's difficult to put into words, but if you look at the system, be it the educational system, be it the social system, be it the structure where on the one hand we're bound by the system, we're responsible to the system. On the other hand, we have a lot of freedom within that system for self-expression. We have a lot of freedom within that system for finding our own path. The system is the exact balance between giving us an ethical boundary, a moral fiber, and yet giving us room for self-expression. The more you study Torah, the more you'll see the beautiful balance that Torah gives you. The more you see the world, and you see the world's efforts, as the Rambam will describe, to mimic the Torah. Let me set up a religion. It'll be just like the Torah, except I will really cut off a hand for a hand, and an eye for an eye. And I will really stone people to death without the legal system of the Torah, where a person has to be forewarned, there has to be witnesses. It has to be an era where it will only happen once in 70 years that a person will be stoned to death. There are quantifying factors, and when the rabbis see that this is happening too much, then they force an exile upon themselves, and they remove the capacity from giving the death penalty from themselves. Long before the temple was destroyed, we stopped administering the death penalty. The rabbi said that's for a nation living on a higher moral standard. The Torah never intended for us to be killing people as often as we're going to have to if we have the death penalty now. So the rabbis imposed a self-imposed exile and they stopped giving the death penalty. They said it's out of control. We're not able to do this. We have murderous kings, the Asmonean kings, not even Jewish, that's a different story, who have taken over the Jewish people. We don't have the power to ensure that the people are living the moral lives that they should. We have all kinds of stupid things, ideas being propagated as Judaism. In the middle of a war, the guy calls himself rabbi and says, no more fighting, Shabbos is settling in. But the rabbi said, you're allowed to fight on Shabbos. And he kills the whole community. He tells them, you want to be religious? No fighting on Shabbos. So they stop fighting on Shabbos against the Jewish tradition. He tells them, believe me, God will save you if you don't fight on Shabbos. And the people buy into it and they all die. And this happened to city after city. So the rabbi said, we don't have control. People are building their own pulpits, teaching things as though that's the Torah. And people are following them blindly because the masses are not educated enough. And we're not able to fight it. We have king after king who's killing out the rabbis. You had situations where the Asmonean kings would murder every rabbi they could get their hands on. So now you're being persecuted by the Romans from without, the Asmoneans from within. Earlier you were persecuted by the Greeks. Now you're persecuted by the Romans. We can't do this. So the rabbis say, okay, this isn't what the Torah wanted. So again, the more you study the Torah, the more you study Jewish history, the more you study the Talmud, and the more you see the rest of the world, the more you appreciate the beautiful balance that the Torah gives us. You look at marriage, you see the tremendous kindness that Chazal instituted within marriage, the responsibilities that the Torah gave to a husband, to a wife, to parents, to children. You look at the system and you realize, hey, this is balanced, this fits, this works. One of the things that many gerim will attest to when they come to Judaism is, I finally found something that I feel like this is God's way of life in this world. Very often a person who's born Jewish has all these little chips on his shoulders. But how come a man gives a woman a get and a woman doesn't give a man a get? And all kinds of wonderful questions. Understand it a little bit better, you might have an answer to your question. It might take a little bit of studying. It might take a little bit of understanding. So, okay, you have one question, you have two questions, but the system at large is an amazingly balanced system. And even when you get to the nitty-gritty, you just have to understand it better. The more you understand, the more you'll see that the system is really there to help everyone maximize life. To live life to its fullest here, as the Rambam will discuss. Kuzari says it, the Rambam's going to say it in this letter. Judaism gives us the capacity to enjoy life to its fullest on earth. But I have to close my shop on Shabbos, and I can't sell shatnez, and I can't sell burgers that are non-kosher, right? We'll talk about it. But at the end of the day, the more you understand Torah, and the more you see the world, to my mind, the more you'll see how this can be understood simply. Without going into all kinds of deep philosophical thoughts, the way of life that the Torah gives us is the best way of life. And again, I didn't have an appreciation for this when I was younger. And I can even tell you that about 11, 12 years ago, I was teaching this here at Machon Meir. I think the classes were recorded, or maybe not yet. And as we were reading this, I said, you know, the Rambam saying this, but I can't really tell you that I see this. So, Bemet, as you develop with a family, as time goes on, you see it more. You'll see it, I hope. I wish you will. And the different kings have been forcing us and fighting us to try and arouse hatred, and there's anti-Semitism that's rampant. When in fact, the nations want to fight the Creator, ולעשות מריבה עמו. And they really want to fight him. But who can fight him? He's God. So they're fighting us. The Rambam says, to my mind, the scariest line in this whole letter. He says, from the time the Torah was given till today, says the Rambam, there was never a period in history that any king, be it the pagans who were mighty, or those who were able to take over empires, or those who took things by force, it doesn't matter if the person was Khmelnytsky, it doesn't matter if the person was Stalin or Lenin, it doesn't matter where in the world he was, but somewhere in his intention, he was thinking, I have to contradict the Torah. I have to fight this religion. I have to fight it with force. I have to fight it with victory. I have to fight it with the sword. Look at history, he says. Amalek, Sisera, Sancheriv, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus from the Greeks, Adrian, Adrianus, and many like them. And we're going to continue here, Bezrat Shem, next week, where the Rambam says, what are the tools they use? What are the driving forces behind these people? And what? How are they trying to attack us? This has been our history, and says the Rambam, it's never stopped. From the day of Moshe Rabbeinu till today. And I guess till today, too. To be continued, Bezrat Shem, next week.